My name is Sarah. I'm a sex and love addict, and I'm happy to be here tonight with you guys. And I just want to thank everyone that's of service at this meeting. Thank goodness for meetings. And I will just share with you guys, I have never actually attended an in-person meeting. So although I prefer in-person, I'm in another fellowship. You can get help and recovery in this program without actually stepping foot in the rooms if you don't have access to it. I just like to say, you know, before I came to this program, with regards to my sex and love life, I had come to a point where I was hopeless. And today I am not. I have a lot of hope and a peace that I had never felt before. So I hope that for you guys too. Doesn't mean you're going to get it from one meeting, but I do find I get a lot of relief from meetings. I hope you get something from my share tonight. If you don't, that doesn't mean you're not in the right place. It just means you need to check out more meetings. All right. So I just want to share with you guys my recovery date when I entered the rooms of SLAA. Actually, I had to look this up. I thought it was September. It turns out it was in July of 2021. So a little over a year ago. My sobriety date, which is a little different, that's actually when I stopped acting out on my bottom lines, kind of similar to like an alcoholic stopping their last drink. For me, I have bottom lines that I abstain from, and that sobriety date is April 13th of this year. I have a relapse, so to speak, has been a part of my recovery. I have worked this program perfectly imperfect, and it's worked for me. I'm going to share with you guys my bottom lines after, but I'll just go ahead and get right into my story. So, I will say that my formative years when I was younger certainly shaped how my sex and love life played out over time. I'm not going to go too much into it, but, I had a father that, was absent and left at a young age. And I think that really affected me. And so I had a lot of fear of abandonment. And as a result, I looked to really strong women that I felt like could make their way through life. And so I actually identified with like characters in movies. Mm-hmm. I liked to read a lot when I was younger. Kind of like older classics. Some of you might know these, some may not, but like Gone with the Wind, there was this heroine named Scarlett O'Hara, and she was like a really strong woman. One of her quotes was like, "I can't think about that today. I'll think about that tomorrow." And I applied that a lot to my life. I don't recommend that. Like, you know, I've learned to handle things and to face my feelings. I don't run from them anymore. As a result of feeling through things, I heal when I feel. And when I was younger, I really wanted to avoid that. As a result of abandonment, I did get into relationships, but there was a lot of manipulation and control. So I would get into relationships, but there was a fear that I was going to be abandoned. So I wanted to make sure that someone was really hooked, so to speak. And the relationship was oftentimes codependent. I was using that person a lot for all of my emotional, mental, spiritual support. There was no reliance on other people or like an outside entity, like a higher power. It was really just being reliant on that other person to meet my needs. And humans are fallible. If you guys haven't figured out, no one's perfect. People are going to make mistakes. And so my relationships, I've got my Alexa going off in the background. My relationships, you know, they'd be good for a while. And I'd get someone right how I wanted them. I'd control and manipulate them. And I'd be happy and content in the relationship. But at some point or other, I would leave the relationship. After I got what I wanted, after the honeymoon phase had kind of ended, typically about a year and a half in, I would start looking outside the relationship for more. And there's different acronyms we hear in program. One of them that I really identified with is LAVA, which stands for love, attention, validation, and approval. So I would look for that in my first relationship, my primary relationship. Once I'd gotten that and that cup was filled and I was bored with that, I would go look for that outside the relationship because I'm an addict. So I'm always going to want more. And so I would do that. And I would, and eventually what would happen is I would cheat and I would leave that relationship, and it would cause a lot of pain and discomfort for an innocent person involved. And it would cause a lot of pain and discomfort for me as well. And so that pattern continued to play out. I mean, there were times where I wasn't the one that was controlling. There were times where I was in a relationship and, I was wanting to make it work so bad. You know, I was just completely head over heels in love, and that person was just not available. And I heard early on in recovery, you know, God's will or your higher power's will for you is going to be like a door that when you open it, it opens gently and easily. It's not going to be one. Your higher power's will is not going to be one where you're like banging on the door trying to get in. If it's not opening, it's not meant for you, you know, but I didn't understand that. And so I would fight and claw for what I thought I wanted because I thought that was love, you know. I saw that in the movies anyway.
Exactly.
So I had, you know, two different types of relationships that were either going on. One where I was like desperately trying to get what I wanted out of it, or one where I ultimately got what I wanted out of it, then I got bored and discarded it and went for another. Neither were healthy, but deep down I really wanted a healthy, honest, loving, committed relationship. I saw that with my grandparents. I didn't see that in my immediate family, but I truly wanted that deep down. And so my pattern as I got older tended to be more of getting in serious relationships. Once I removed drugs and alcohol, because that is a part of my story, I got to remove that. The relationships did get healthier, but ultimately I would still end up leaving and cheating. And I thought getting married would stop that. And so I met a great man who I'd known for a long time, and we fell in love, and the first year and a half was great. And he did eventually propose, and I was physically, you know, I was physically loyal, I guess you could say, for 4 years, but I emotionally cheated, and eventually I did have an affair, and that really was a turning point for me where I just recognized how out of control my disease was, how bad this had gotten for me. And I felt hopeless because, to be honest, I think, you know, if you've ever been cheated on before, which I've been cheated on before too, it feels awful. And so there's this thought of like, oh, well, if you're the cheater, it's not that bad, but it feels awful no matter what, especially if you have like some kind of moral compass, which I think most of us do. It feels awful. And to hurt someone that loves you, it's not a good feeling. And to have done it over and over and then to do that with someone I married, that was a big turning point for me. That was not what drove me to the rooms though, you guys. I got to say, but I didn't know about SLAA. Actually, I went back to another 12-step program because I picked up marijuana again, the lesser of two evils for me with my substance abuse, but I picked that up again. And I was in full-on sex and love addiction and marijuana addiction. So I went back to a program to get a hold of my marijuana addiction, thinking that I knew that there was hope in these rooms. And so I did. I was able to get mentally sober from mind-altering substances. But I left my husband, and I proceeded to date compulsively. Instead of like stopping the addiction from a substance, stopping the affair, and looking at what I had done, even though I was in excruciating pain, I thought that I had just married the wrong person. I don't know. I was so lost and confused. I don't know if you guys can relate to that, but there's a lot of lost and confused and needing help and not knowing where to go, you know? And so as a sex and love addict, I just dated and looked for other men and thought that maybe I'd picked the wrong partner once again. And I did that for about a year and a half. My husband and I separated at the beginning of COVID. And I guess you could say thanks to COVID, we were not able to get divorced. The courts were closed at certain points. Things happened where we were not able to get divorced. So we were legally separated for a year and a half. And during that time, I dated compulsively. slept around, and was constantly looking for that love, attention, validation, and approval outside of myself. At about a year and a half of being separated, so earlier in 2021, I recognized the insanity and realized I was still technically married and was like, all right, I either need to actually now complete this divorce or I need to give it like one final shot with my husband. And so I went back to that relationship and I tried it for 3 months without SLAA recovery. Did not work. I wanted it to work. I had the right intentions. We went to couples therapy, but it did not work. And ultimately I just knew, you guys, I was in so much pain, and thanks to some other 12-step recovery, I had this relationship with a higher power that I called God. And when I prayed, the answers that I got deep down inside were that I needed to be alone. And that scared the crap out of me because I don't like to be alone. I'm deathly afraid of it. And, but I had enough, I cared enough about my partner, my ex-husband, my estranged husband, to know that I didn't want to cheat on him again. I knew I was going to do it again. I knew I was going to. And so I ended it with him. And someone had suggested that I have a phone call with a sex therapist. And the sex therapist talked to me for about 15 minutes. And she said, you know, this kind of sounds like sex, love, addict-y. Like, I know that sounds kind of odd. I said, no, that doesn't sound odd at all. Like, I'm an addict in recovery in another 12-step program that sounds like right up my alley. And she said, well, I recommend you get the book Facing Love Addiction by Pia Melody. It's not like a conference-approved book in this program, but it's a good book. And she said, I recommend you go to some sex and love addiction meetings. And so that was on a Sunday. And I actually ended it with my husband at that. After 3 months of trying to work on things, I went to him. I said, I can't do this. I didn't tell him I'm going to cheat again. I just said, I can't do this. I'm sorry. I need to be on my own. That was on a Saturday. On a Sunday, I had the talk with the sex therapist. On a Monday, I had my first SLAA meeting. And I came into the rooms and I heard you guys share. And I just knew I was where I needed to be. And fortunately, because I have recovery in another 12-step program, I believed in what this could do for me. And I was scared, but I trusted it. And I knew that I just could not keep living this life of insanity. And I knew that I was just going to end up repeating the same cycle of getting into another relationship, and it was going to end in heartache. Drawing a blank here, you guys. I was asked last minute to do this. So anyways, I came into these rooms and I started attending meetings. And at first it was just the Monday night, 8 p.m. Top Lines meeting, Pacific Standard Time. I recommend it. It's a great meeting. It's co-ed, just throwing that out there for people. That was a great meeting because we identify our bottom lines, which are the things we're going to abstain from. But we also want to identify top lines, the things that we're going to do that are healthy to replace the negative things that we were doing in our life. So that was a great meeting for me. I heard a lot of experience, strength, and hope and recovery in that room. And then I went to other meetings and I started going to meetings regularly. I got a sponsor. A sponsor's main goal is to take you through the steps and to provide you with spiritual tools and to support you. They're not your therapist. They're not going to be perfect. They're human too. So it's important to like outreach with other people in program. But I heard before, trying to work the steps on your own is like going into the forest at night without a flashlight. You just don't do it. You can't see anything. So, you know, I needed a sponsor to guide me through the steps, to be that flashlight, to show me through, you know, this dark, scary forest. And what that did is that allowed me an opportunity to meet myself and to really see some things and work through some things that I didn't have the opportunity to outside of these rooms. Where am I at in terms of time? Just curious.
So you have about 45 seconds to 5 minutes.
Thank you. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about withdrawal because what happens when you come to these rooms is that they're like, hey, whatever you're going through, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to need to remove the addiction. And that's, chances are, it's your love interest, right? So if you're attracted to men, it's going to be men. If you're attracted to women, it's going to be women. like none of that. And so for me, initially, it was identifying bottom lines. So no contact with men that I had dated, been in relationships with. I had to get off like dating apps. No contact with my estranged husband, which I started to realize over time was like a pacifier. Nice. Thank you. It was like a pacifier or security blanket for me. Like maybe I wasn't fully wanting it, but like I would reach back out to it, you know, because it was a sense of security. Another bottom line for me was really just pretty much no interaction with men if it was in any way, sense, shape, or form in relation to some possibility of romance or sex. Luckily, COVID really helped me in that department because I was working remotely. So I will say that was just a blessing that just worked out in my favor. And then from there, it was withdrawal. So it's identifying the bottom lines and then not acting on those. And that was extremely difficult for me personally, because once I identified my bottom lines, the most difficult one was actually stopping communication with my ex-husband. We weren't divorced at that point, but the person I was estranged from. Because what it did was, for the first time in 2.5 years, I actually grieved the loss of my marriage. I had been dating and intriguing and looking into men and on apps and doing all this stuff. And so I had to face the demise of my marriage and what I had done. And that was really painful. And, but what I did is I got into action. I attended meetings. I reached out to people and I started working the steps. My sponsor reminded me, hey, we don't have control over certain things, but we do have control over is working the steps, and you're going to find relief and recovery when you're doing the work. I think it was touched on briefly in the start of this meeting, but you know, it's not about the meetings we make, but the steps we take in terms of recovery. Meetings do help 100%, but taking those steps is what's ultimately brought me constant relief and a relief from obsession and from a desire to control. I don't feel compulsive anymore in that area. A big thing for me too was I had so many mixed feelings with regards to my relationship with my estranged husband or my partner. I didn't know whether I was meant to reconcile with him or divorce. I was constantly conflicted. And she set me free by saying, hey, no talk of reconciliation or divorce until you finish the 12 steps. Like, I think your higher power is going to work that out for you, and that's going to be sorted out. But right now you need to focus on you and your recovery in this program. And so that really helps. The steps did help. There are different sponsors are going to take you through the steps different ways. So because I have a background in AA, and I'm very familiar with the AA Big Book and the AA 12 and 12, it's called the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. My sponsor was like, okay, great. The credits don't transfer. This is a different program. I want you to take this seriously and kind of dump the knowledge you have and start fresh. So she took me through what's called the basic text, the SLAA book, that was used. And then there was a workbook, the SLAA workbook. And you guys can get these online. If you get a sponsor, I would just, whatever they suggest, you know, there's lots of different ways to the 12 steps or the 12 steps, but how your sponsor takes you through that is how it's meant to be, in my humble opinion. Your higher power is going to bring the right person to you. Doesn't mean it's going to be the right sponsor initially. I had a sponsor for 3 months. They could only take me so far. To be honest, I had a hard time really opening up about some uncomfortable stuff. The fourth step, you're really going to like spill your guts. And I needed to switch sponsors and share with someone. To be honest, I ended up finding someone who was married and had cheated and had a similar history as mine. Not exact same, but could relate in some ways. So that really helped. And as a result of working the steps.
1 minute.
Thank you. Heard that. As a result of working the steps today, I am on step 11. I will just say that, you know, one of my bottom lines was no talk of reconciliation or divorce until I'd finished the steps. You know, may have heard man plans, God laughs. Just naturally things should happen that my husband and I started working on reconciliation around step 9 after I made amends. And so it's been about 3 months now of us working on things. He lives in a different state. We meet once for like a week and a half a month for the past 3 months. We've just been fortunate enough to do that because we both work remotely. He just left today. I never thought I would be at where I'm at right now in this relationship. I have a new kind of hope. I have the opportunity to actually have a healthy, loving, committed relationship that I want, that I signed up for when I got married, but I just didn't think I could actually stick true to it.
It's time.
Thank you. My actions now align with my values. I don't know if any of you guys can relate to that. It's like, I want to do one thing, but my actions are not going to end up aligning with what I truly want. And it, you know, that's, yeah. Anyways, I hope you guys got something out of that. Like I said, if you didn't, thank you for just listening to me and being here tonight. Hopefully you get something from someone else's share. And that's all I have. Thank you guys for letting me be here tonight and be of service.